Like the show? Want to listen to episodes early? Consider becoming a patron. Starting at the $3 a month level, patrons get access to a custom patron-only feed where we put out episodes of upstairs studio podcasts like the Childcare Bar and Grill, Miss Becky's Classroom, That Early Childhood Nerd, the Renegade Rules podcast, and others early. That feed is just for patrons. You could be one of them. Go to patreon.com/playvolutionhq or click the link in the show description to learn more.
Okay, nobody knows unless you tell us.
Okay.
Welcome to the Child Care Bar and Grill podcast. Jeff Johnson coming to you live from upstairs studio. In studio with me is Lisa Murphy.
Hello.
And Tiffany Pearsall.
That's me. Ooh, there's a highlighter coming out over there.
Lisa Murphy's got a highlighter out. We're doing another top five classroom pets. Just a little recap. We each make a list of five things. We count down from five to our number one choice. Number one should be our favorite, like little tomato over there.
This is Raleigh.
Oh, that's Raleigh.
This is your uncle puppy. This is Guy's uncle, Raleigh.
Guy's uncle?
My parents' dog. So we call him uncle puppy because he's Guy's uncle as a dog.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go, podcast listeners. There's some dog information from Tiffany's place. So top five classroom pets. Tiffany, what's your number five?
Plants. They count as a pet, right?
Plant. Okay. Well, maybe. Walk me through.
They're alive.
They're alive. You have to care for them. We have a lot of plants in our classroom, and I still want like 800 more because I'm kind of a houseplant person. But I love being able to dump my watercolor paint water on a plant nearby and just be done with it. It's so delightful.
And you can't do that with a hamster.
You can't.
You can't do that with a hamster.
I mean, you could, but you shouldn't.
Or a dog, or, yeah. And also, no other animal can you just like, well, that's not true. Hang on.
Okay.
I also really love propagating plants. You can just like chop them up, stick them in water and see what grows. And that whole process is really fun.
Again,
and,
like, something else you can't do with a hamster.
You can't do that with a hamster.
But you can do it with a worm, maybe. But like, yeah. I might not do that.
Okay. I wasn't sold on the plant thing to start with, but I mean, low maintenance, kind of. I mean, if you remember to water them and give them the right amount of sunshine, they'll do okay. You don't need licensing or to get them shots. Mm-hmm. And so as long as they're not poisonous, you're probably
not going
to
bite you. Yeah.
Yeah. They're not going to bite you.
They're not going to escape.
Yeah. Unless it's a cactus.
Small real plants in small pots have become delightful loose parts in our classroom.
Where
the kids, they've been like setting up little aquariums and they'll bring the potted plant into the aquarium as like part of the scene.
That's
kind of
cool.
Okay. I was gonna be a little bit on tilt about plants as a pet to start with, but you sold me. Okay, that's a good one. Lisa Murphy, you're number five.
Like a bird, a parrot or a cockatoo.
Oh, now that's the exact.
Oh, that's a bird. That's a bird.
Lots of noise, lots of pooping, lots of care.
But also lots of talking.
Yeah, lots of noise coming from them. That's great.
And the mirroring what they hear the kids say, and then the kids mirroring what they hear the cockatoos say.
Yeah.
It was all very polite. I mean, it was very yes and please and go potty. And, you know, it wasn't inappropriate at all, but just a lot of shedding, a lot of molting.
Yeah.
That was a big downfall.
But not a lot of swearing like a sailor. So that's probably good.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I like that one. My number five, goldfish. Just the basic basic classroom pet. You put it in a bowl, nothing fancy. You just get it in the bowl and you change the water and it makes the little goldfish thing with its lips that's really cute. And you watch it and it dies and you talk about it and you dissect it and you get another one. I mean, you can get them for 12 cents a piece at the pet store if you're buying the cheap feeder goldfish. Really kind of, I mean, first they're pretty indestructible if you give them a little bit of care, but if they get destructed, easy to replace. So that's why my goldfish are my number five classroom pet.
I feel like this is going to be a tricky one because like birds and fish are on my list somewhere too.
Oh, that's cool. All right. Good. What is your number four, Tiffany?
My number four is fish. My current dream is to have one of those all-inclusive fish habitats where the water plants live on top and the fish lives on the bottom. Mm-hmm. And no, you don't have to do anything because it's a fully functional closed ecosystem. We like to catch crawdads, throw them in a jar, play with them for a day, let them free, or, you know, if they don't make it, dissect them, draw them. It's cool.
Fry them up.
We're looking for big ones to eat. We're going to be eating crawdads soon.
I love fish in the classroom. Back in my center days, in one center building, we had a 150-gallon tank with bubble-eyed goldfish in it in the toddler room. We had another 150-gallon tank in a school-age after-school room that was full of Oscars and these big eat-another-fish. And I mean, some of them are 10, 12 inches long. And then in the preschool room, we had a 250-gallon saltwater tank.
Yeah.
With the sea anemones and just all kinds of kinds of stuff. And then I had a tank in my office too, because sometimes I had to get away from those damn kids. So I mean, that's hundreds and hundreds of gallons of water, and frankly, more time devoted to taking care of fish than I probably should have budgeted for, because I should probably have been doing other things. But it was delightful.
Right. Yeah.
And I mean, especially the one in the toddler room, it was like kid height. And so they were right up there with these. And these are 10, 12 inch long goldfish once they grew up. And I mean, the whole cover front of the tank was constantly covered with snot because they're right. I mean, they're picking their nose and they're trying to touch the fish. And it was, but it was delightful. And especially during rest time, that light kind of reflects on the floor and that's just kind of a nice thing.
Well, I want to jump on that too, because my fish is higher up, but since the story is happening right now, we had saltwater tanks and they were dual tanks with tubes that connected them that became actually really hard to get. After like, it's like, we don't make those anymore, but the childcare, oh my God, family childcare, they would just be up against that. And because I do outsource the, so we had the fish guy that would come in once a week.
I was going to say that if you have a saltwater tank, it's actually the least maintenance fish or pet you can have, because you can just have a person come and do it.
And we did. And so we had the interaction with the fish, then they had the interaction with the fish guy, like, and we love Thursdays because, you know, Craig came. And it was a fish to me, like, my dream was always to have, when you walked into the childcare, that there would be a built-in aquarium in like the reception area, that so as soon as you walk in, you're just seeing, I love fish.
Back in our the center days when we were building the new center, one thing I priced was a custom job, that aquarium. It was like an arch. So it was kind of like, so it was,
oh cool.
And,
how much?
Well, it was over $15,000 just for the tank. But I think it was like 1,200 gallons. And so the nonprofit I was working for, they thought that was a little bit out of the budget. The architect was totally ready to design it into the building, but that got vetoed pretty quickly. But you know, what are you going to do?
Fish are calming.
Yeah.
They are. And the water sounds, just the like flowing, constant water sound, is so pleasant.
Yeah. So fish on everybody's list. What's your number four, Lisa?
Rabbit.
Rabbit.
Rabbit's on my shit list. Mm-mm.
I like rabbits because they can hop. Rabbits. They can be in the cage. Depending on your yard environment, you could bring them outside with you. You could have them inside hopping around. I realize nowadays with a lot of allergies, it's probably a no-go. But I did enjoy having rabbits in the classroom.
Yeah, I love rabbits. I mean, they're so soft and
I love eating them. But
they're delicious. I was going to say, Bugs Bunny, one of the best cartoon characters out there. Fuck Mickey Mouse. Bugs Bunny is a far better cartoon character, more subversive, funnier. Except my problem with rabbits is when I'm around them, my throat closes up.
Yeah.
And I can no longer get oxygen to my lungs. And so, that's just a small negative for them, but yeah, I think they're great. And the programs that I've been around that have had them, I mean, kids love them because they are so.
So I have to ask, how did you discover? Had you always known yet you had that reaction to a rabbit, or where were you when you found that out?
I don't remember. I mean, I don't think it was a thing when I was a kid. I think it was a kind of an adult thing, and so I like them so much. I can figure I can do maybe 5 minutes. And I start feeling this tickle in my throat, and then it's time to get away. And I don't think it's a Jeff is going to die thing, but it is an allergic kind of reaction, I guess. And so I guess it was in my 30s that I noticed it the first time. But before that, I'd spent time around them. So I don't know what triggered it. But no, they're great. Except I don't know. People say they can housebreak them, but a lot of times the people
they poop everywhere.
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't think they're really...
They pee everywhere.
Mm. Yeah, there's a lot of... I mean, but they are cute and cuddly in their ears, especially the floppy-eared ones. They're pretty cute. Yeah, I like them.
I feel like bunnies are very polarizing. You either have an awesome bunny that you love, that hangs out with the kids, and is fun to be around, mm-hmm. or you have an asshole bunny.
Yeah.
And we had an asshole bunny who chewed through every single... pencil, marker, paint, like everything that was made of wood, anything that was a tubular shape, he would find and chew. And he loved to pee on our books.
Ooh.
He would go to our library and just like spray all the books. We had an asshole bunny, and it means I can never have a bunny again.
Well, what a literature critic he was.
I mean, he did not.
You can not like a book, but you don't have to pee on it. That's just wrong.
Right? And oof, rabbit pee is almost worse than cat pee to me because it's like milky. Oh,
thank you for that. I haven't spent enough time comparing them, but I'll get out and do some research. My number four, dog. Dog, great pet. I know it's kind of hard to do with centers, although I've interacted with some centers that
have. We had a dog.
Yeah, and I think it's more maybe a family childcare thing, but man, a well-behaved, well-trained dog and kids is delightful.
My preschool teacher's dog had puppies on Monday. Two puppies. They're going to keep one, and they're going to give one to another teacher at the school, and I want them to be the class dogs. Can you imagine growing up in that environment?
Poor dogs.
I got my dog, Otis B, as we called him, right when I started my second family childcare home. And so the kids grew up with Otis, and Otis grew up with the kids. And it was ideal. And it was great for us for 99 other reasons as a family. But then also the parents were like straight up, you know what? Thanks for doing this because we don't want a freaking dog at our house. Mm-hmm. And so the kids were able to kind of benefit a little, you know, the best of both worlds, so to speak.
Yeah. Yeah. Back in my community center director days, our kids were young, and we had a Dalmatian.
We did too growing up.
And we got him as a pup, and he grew up in the center where, you know, on a Saturday when I was working, we'd have 600 or 700 kids through the building with our basketball and volleyball programs, and he'd just sleep on a chair in my office, and people would come in and say hi to him, and he was really chill, and it was great, and he'd hang around the community center because I was the director and I could bring my fucking dog to work. What are you gonna do about it? It was back in the days before licensing was so bitchy about stuff. But yeah, dogs are great. Tiffany, what are the regulations with? Could you have a class dog?
We can definitely have a class dog. It's just some work.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's cool.
I've never let licensing hold me back.
Oh yeah, yeah. And I think most things are, I think here it was like you had to have shot records and I mean just be able to prove that stuff. And
it's not heard of. You just have to go through the steps.
In Rochester, I used to joke that there were 27 pages in the licensing regs of how to wash your hands after you change a diaper, but there were 4 bullet points on what you needed to do to have a dog on site. And I'm like, yeah. Are you kidding? We're going to have a dog.
Yeah.
For me, good. I've been dreaming of not just a school dog, but a dog for each class. Because when we go out in the field, it would make me feel really great to know that there's a dog with the group at all times.
Because of bears.
Because we have bears, we have cougars. If you surprise a mama deer, they can get mad. We have herds of elk, like.
Yeah, and that little chihuahua, that little chihuahua is gonna protect you. Great, that's gonna be great.
But that chihuahua is like a snack while you gather the toddlers. Oh, you know what I mean?
Pick one for the team.
Yeah, like we need an alarm system. We need an alarm dog.
A little alarm dog
can
be great.
Let us know when something's up. When a dog gets freaked out, you can tell, and like it would be nice to know.
Yeah.
Not just because we have those animals in our area, we legit have them at our school and have encountered them from afar with groups of children. It would just be nice to have.
Yeah, can't go wrong with the dog. What's your number three, Tiffany?
Number three for me is stick bugs.
Stick bugs.
Stick, but not stink bugs. They're awesome pets. They are big enough that a kid can hold it without just like mangling it immediately. They're pretty durable. They like to just like crawl on you and climb on you, and they're easy to take care of. We feed them blackberries out here. So blackberries are not, but the bramble part, the like actual vine of the blackberries with the E. Uh-huh. So it's easy to get food for them.
I got a hack for somebody that's moving into the pet idea but doesn't want to do all the upkeep. You just take a stick and you use a brown pipe cleaner and wrap it around to make some legs. And you just tell the kids that it's a stick bug, and you're going to be good to go. If they're under 4, they're gonna buy it, especially the toddlers, and they're going to carry it around and cuddle it. And it's just going to be just like having a live stick bug without the upkeep.
Mm-hmm.
So there's my hack. No, they're great, and they're so freaky alien looking that it's yeah. Awesome. And I feel a wiggle
where they pretend to be in the wind and they do some push-ups. You can't see me.
I'm just a stick. I'm not a bug. Don't bother me. That's what they're totally like.
Yeah.
That's a good one. I got a creepy crawly on my list a little bit later too. Lisa, what's your number three?
Silkworms.
Silkworms. I have not. What I don't. What tell me about silkworms?
No, they're like unique geographically, like you can't find them everywhere, but we would get silkworms once a year, and then it was on the hunt to see who could bring the mulberry leaves in, because that's what they lived on. So where we lived, or where the school was actually, we had a huge number of mulberry trees, bushes.
They can be trees.
They're trees here.
But they, so we would do silkworms, and we would keep them in the boxes of like where the paper, the lid to the paper box, if that makes sense. Or like back in the day, you'd buy like a bunch of soda at like a Costco kind of thing, and they'd come in the
half. Those little flat, cardboard flat thing?
Yeah, with a little bit of a lip on each side, and then the kids would watch them. I mean, and I realize we're supposed to be limited to 5, but we did snails like that, you know. I mean, we just those.
I forgot about snails.
And we dipped the snails into paint, liquid watercolor paint.
We dipped the snails into melted butter.
No, we didn't eat the snails, but we did. We would set up a snail circus, and we would put really tight string in between two vertical blocks, and you could put the snail on it, and the snail would go across the. Oh yeah, snails are awesome.
Great! I totally forgot about snails as a pet.
That's kind of.
Cool. I kind of snuck two in there: snails and silkworms.
Can we talk for a moment about mulberries?
They're so good.
Because June is when mulberries are kind of mulberrying the most here, end of June, beginning of July. And out walking the hounds, we developed a couple of routes where I would walk, we would go by the mulberries, and they're big and purple, and especially when they're sun warmed, when you go by them and you munch them off the branch in the afternoon. And I remember being a kid and just, we climb up the trees and we would just sit there and gorge ourselves. And I ate way more mulberries this summer than I have in years. And it was delightful. And I don't know why I got so much joy out of it, but it was totally a joyful experience. So that's just, I guess, my little soliloquy about mulberries. People, go out there and munch yourself some mulberries. Do yourself a favor.
Well, when I was still running all the time, there were trees on the running route in Rochester when I would run roads, not so much on the trails, but on roads. And I could always tell when it was mulberry season because there would just be this one pile of purple schmoosh. And, you know, I'm like, I didn't even know there was a mulberry tree back here. You know, I thought it was kind of unique to where I had been previously. Uh-huh. But yeah, it's like once a year, you would see them. They'd all fall. You'd run through them. And that was that.
Yeah, and I'm like fighting birds for the good ones and everything. And the dogs are just sitting there like looking at me like what, like I'm some sort of crazed maniac, all purple around my mouth. No, I didn't go that crazy with them. What number are we on?
Two. What's your number two?
No, three. I haven't done my three yet.
Oh, your number
three. My number three, chickens.
I agree.
Chickens. Yeah. Chickens are great. Maybe not so much inside, but man, I've visited a lot of programs with free range playground chickens, and you can't go wrong. There's a lot of opportunity for the kids to learn basic caregiving skills with feeding and watering the chickens and collecting the eggs and chickens. They're pretty durable. Even here in Iowa, where we've got a pretty significant winter, they overwinter pretty well if you keep them dry and keep them out of the wind. And so chickens are great. And, you know, they poop, but if you're on a child, I mean, it just kind of just goes away. If they're free range, they're eating bugs out of the grass, all kinds of great things about chickens. And it seems to be more of a thing in Australia than it is a lot of places here. I don't know why, but that's where we saw more of it. But chickens are great.
We're not allowed to have free range in Washington.
We're also not. Keep it in a pen?
Yeah, we could keep them in a pen.
An aquarium?
Yeah, a chicken aquarium. We're not allowed to eat fresh, even if you grow the eggs, you're not allowed to eat them.
Why? That's Washington, a whole other topic. Yeah.
Like there's a lot of fascists in Washington. Maybe those Portland protesters should go up there. That's a little bit of editorializing. What's your number two, Tiffany?
Chickens and birds.
Chickens and birds.
I expanded to all birds because bird feeders on the playground, wild birds aren't necessarily a pet, but they bring a different vibe to your play space.
Sure.
We've had some cool birds coming through on our feeder this year, and hummingbirds, we just get like tons of hummingbirds on the hummingbird feeder. And
that takes a lot of hummingbirds to make a ton.
Yeah, it does. I mean, there are times of the year, like when summer first starts, you're almost getting hit by hummingbirds on our playground because there are so many around. It's wild. And they come at the same times, and you can tell, like, oh, this is this family because they're not fighting, but they'll fight this family because that family comes from over here. And it's just wild. Bird feeders and birds on a playground. I love it.
Oh, yeah, boy. The average hummingbird weighs less, between half an ounce and about 3/4 of an ounce. So a ton of hummingbirds. That'd be a shitload of hummingbirds.
A lot of hummingbirds.
Is that a European swallow, or is that oh, like 1% of our listeners?
Oh, and that's the giant hummingbird. That's the big ass hummingbirds that weigh that much. So, oh my god, yeah, that's a lot of hummingbirds.
Yeah, we get ruby throated and Rufus in our part of the woods.
And they're
I like
this as well.
I like the idea of the bird food feeders.
It's also great if you use bird food in your sensory table, because then as it just like gets everywhere, on your playground. It's just bringing just in more birds, man.
Although you could have a Hitchcock movie problem if things go wrong out of the playground with all that bird seed around, so that could
or if it all went to seed a little quicker than you were anticipating, and now you've got flax growing in the backyard.
Oh, I think that would be great compared
to
what some programs are like. So birds are great inside, outside, and I mean the wild stuff, that's great because you don't have to take care of it. You don't have to tell the licensor that you have these pet birds. You just put the bird seed out there. So it's the best of both worlds, less paperwork and plenty of nature interaction. So I think that's great. Lisa Murphy, what's your number two?
We've already said it, so I'll just go fast. Fish.
Fish are great. My number two, rats. Mm. Rats. High school, I had a pet rat that lived in my locker at the school for just about a whole school year. That was a great rat. Wasn't supposed to be there, but what are you going to do?
Did you take it home at night or on the weekends, or did it just kind of live in your locker?
Oh, it would come home in my pocket once in a while, but mostly it just lived in the locker. And I mean, it came to class with me sometimes. And then so later we had rats, and but in my community center days, we had her name was Rita. And she was Rita the reading rat, because she loved to sit on people's shoulders. And so I told the kids that the rat loved to listen to stories. And so we'd have all these kids after school, they'd have snack and goof around for a while. And then they'd take turns sitting down to read books to this rat perched on their shoulder. And she'd kind of wrap around their neck, her tail would go around their neck, and she'd just kind of sit there. And it was delightful. And the problem is they're so interbred that, I mean, you end up with a rat cancer a lot of times. And so you gotta be real careful who you're getting your rats from, but they're real smart. They're friendly. They're delightful as long as they're well socialized. And they're just kind of a, I mean, nothing better than a big rodent sitting on your shoulder, right? Mm-hmm. Rats, my number
My mentor teacher had an iguana that served a very similar purpose.
Oh, iguana, that's great. We had, back at that same time, we had for a while a chameleon, that little chameleon, but the big move their eyes in the different directions. I mean, big 12-inch long chameleon for a while that somebody just showed up and gave us. I mean, I don't know where they got it in Iowa, but it lived with us for a long time. And the way they move so slow. And so big ass chameleons are great too. So that's my number two. Tiffany, your number one.
Dogs.
Dog. Yeah,
we've already kind of been over
we
why.
Talked about the virtues of dogs. There's lots of reasons why. They're great. They're furry pets. They're good friends. They poop a lot, but what are you gonna do? I mean, if it's your buddy, you're gonna take care of the poop. What I mean, you can't just have your buddy pooping on the playground and not clean up after them. So
we don't poop where we play. It's true.
Yeah. Good one, Lisa Murphy. You're number one.
Hermit crabs.
Hermit crabs.
That's your number one. Aren't they stinky?
No, I've never had a stinky hermit crab. The only thing with hermit crabs, and I learned this the hard way the first time, is that you, even if the guy at the pet shop says that they won't be growing out of their shells for a while, you need to have extra shells in there for them as they look for a new place to live. I didn't know that. So they actually left their shell looking for a new shell, and then my cat found them. So that was the end of them. And tragically, I had named them Romeo and Juliet. So that was kind of weird. I love hermit crabs in the classroom.
Yeah, they're great. I mean, they're fairly low maintenance too, huh?
Peanut butter and water, and a couple shells for them to crawl around in.
Yeah. Yeah, no, they're great. I've known some kids that are in love with hermit crabs. Along those lines of creepy crawly critters, my number one is tarantulas. We had a number over the years of tarantulas and programs I worked in and around, and a nice rose-haired tarantula. They're great. They're low maintenance. My favorite part about it was these little 3 and 4 year olds with this big spider comfortably on their hand and walking up their arm when parents would walk in, and watching parents freak the fuck out because they were so scared, but also look on admiringly as their small child was totally comfortable around this ostensibly a scary creature. And so tarantulas were great, inexpensive, easy to find, easy to care for. Tarantulas, my number one.
Woohoo!
Well, there we
go. I think the thing about pets, though, a little sidebar commentary, is that I noticed none of us said snakes. You know, I noticed none of us said lizards. I had it written down because I think it is a good snake, but I took it off the list because I've never personally had a snake in the classroom, because for a long time I was really, really, really scared of snakes. So I think the idea of pets in the classroom, you have to have, it's, to me, it's like a garden. At some point you realize that the adults are going to be the one that's responsible and maintaining, even though everybody collectively is interested at the beginning, there has to be somebody on the team who is like, nope, I got it. Right. And kind of having that responsibility for it. Because not everybody does. And I think, Jeff, what made me think of it is the tarantula thing. Like, I'd be 100% on board with having a pet tarantula. I also, though, need to know that somebody on board is going to be the one willing to put their hand in there, because I need somebody to coach me through that. Like, I can be brought on board with that, but out the gate, I need to know that somebody's, like, owning up to being, like, the boss of it.
Yeah, you need a daisy. I had a daisy. Back in the center days, where we had all those fish tanks that I took care of in the preschool classroom where my Daisy worked. Daisy had been a child in the community center I worked with, and then she grew up and ended up working for me in the child care center. She was a pet kid, and so she grew up with Rita the Rat on her shoulder. And so when she was working for me in the preschool room, we had at one time, I think we had the tarantula, we had a rabbit, we had two snakes, all the fish, newts, skinks. They're great. They're kind of lizardy guys without legs, but they're not snakes, so they were kind of cool. I think there were some hamsters and gerbils and that kind of stuff too. And she took care of it. She she loved it. And she helped. I mean, the kids were constantly helping. And I mean, we had babies of different things and all that going on. And a turtle. Turtles were great.
Turtles are good.
Yeah.
You can have an outdoor turtle. I think that's a great, great pet.
And I mean, but the reason that worked is, like you say, it's because we had a Daisy and she took on the job of taking care of that stuff. And so that's a big piece of it. But there's so much that kids get out of interacting with animals. And I mean, and a lot of them don't have, like somebody said earlier, they don't have exposure to that at home. And so if we can offer them that in our settings, we're probably doing them a favor.
I was going to be snarky and say that my number one was the stuffed animals, because that's all licensing lets us have nowadays. And now with COVID, you're not allowed to have those. So pretty much there's nothing. But I didn't want to
be like... COVID, we have crawdads for sure. That is one thing I can guarantee. We will be playing with real crawdads as much as possible.
Because they're right outside the door, right?
Yeah.
Well, that sounds like another pandemic. What do you have? I've got a case of the crawdads. That sounds like something you need penicillin for.
That was the last episode. I want to tell you my crawdad story. We used to take the family childcare kids to a park when I was in Southern California, and there was a stream that went through. And one day, you've probably both heard me tell this story, but one day there was this little girl. She was about 9 or 10. She was older. She was by herself, and she had I can see it so vividly. She had a green piece of yarn, and she had tied a hot dog onto the end of it. And she was, so she's like fishing, if you can see this in your mind's eye, listeners. And so she's fishing and they're nibbling on the hot dog like bait. And she pulled out crawdads, just filled a huge, like Home Depot size bucket of crawdads. And because I was still early in my career, I interrupted her. I wouldn't now, but I did then. I went up to her and I was like, what are you doing? And she said, I'm catching crawdads. And I was like, are you going home and eating them? You know, like, that's a lot. She poured the bucket of crawdads back into the creek and said, no, we're going to come back and get them again tomorrow. I love that.
That's
even
great.
Though half of them were probably dead from being in the sun
for me,
for the 2 hours. We're going to come and get them again tomorrow.
I just remembered another one. We had a worm farm for a while. Mm-hmm. Just you got the you feed all the kitchen scraps to the red wigglers, and they kind of compost it and everything. And so the kids loved that. The kitchen scraps would get fed to them, and then we'd have to dig in there and just handfuls of writhing worms and everything. And you can't get much more stemmy and sciencey than that. So. Hey, people, get in there and do the pets. This has been another episode of the Child Care Bar and Grill podcast. Thanks for listening. If you like the show, share it with a friend or an enemy, because, you know, we don't want to discriminate. Back soon with another episode. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
This has been an Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio production.